Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. You guys, listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online, can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghoststories. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, Oscar in Dallas tried to help a business owner remove a demonic entity from its premises, only to have the demon follow him home. That story and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like the show, help support it. Keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month is all that is, and it gets you access to all of our bonus episodes. We have brand new ones we put out for you every single week. You get advanced episodes of our show, archived episodes of our show, our ebook, our audiobook, and a whole lot more. It's all right there for you to binge away on $5 a month. That's, like I said, that's what supports this thing and keeps our pirate ship afloat. I know times are tough for everybody right now. We greatly appreciate all of our EPPs who help keep this show going. It is the weekday episode of the show, but my co-host today is not Jen. It is not Carol. It is Harper.
Hi.
Hi. So, yeah, we got kind of a craziness going on in our household right now. No one has COVID, so that's the good news. The bad news is one of us is in the hospital. Nobody here on the show right now, but it is not Jen. Livy is in there as of the recording of this in mid-November. So when you hear this, she's probably out by now, God willing. It's a nasty, nasty stomach flu that we all got in this house, and she got hit the worst. I swear it's probably the worst stomach flu of my life. I'm back to a functioning sense, but it's still, you know, I won't go into detail, but the aftermath still is happening. You had it. You probably had it the least of all of us, but you had it.
Yeah, I think I still have it because my stomach still hurts.
Yeah, you still got that going on. But Jen has had it. But Livy actually ended up in the children's hospital for, we're going on the third night tonight, I believe, of her there. And a lot of trying to do pain management and get her back to hydration and health and all of that. And it's just been a rough, scary ride. The first thing, obviously, that goes through your mind is, you know, COVID and all that. But they did all the tests and everything, and that is, it's not what it is. But obviously, other things do exist in this world besides COVID, which is what I think a lot of people miss when people are stressing, wear a freaking mask. And I'm saying that without swearing and saying a lot of horrible things that I'd love to say about people who don't wear masks right now because my child is in the room. But the biggest reason is we don't want to fill up all the hospital beds with 100% COVID patients, because then when someone has a stomach flu or something else, you're out of hospital beds. And if you have a heart attack or anything like that, sorry, no rooms in the inn. So that's why it's just so crazy. It really made us think about that too. I mean, we've been following protocol 100%, but it puts it more into perspective when you're like right on the front line of all of it. So even though it wasn't COVID, thank God, wear your freaking masks. And anything you'd like to say about that?
Wear your god masks so more people don't end up in the hospital.
I think she put it well. Sometimes you just gotta let it all out. And,
you yeah. Sure do.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to that first story that we have here today. It starts, "Hey man, it's me, Oscar Mendoza from Dallas, with another ghost story. This story just happened a couple of months ago. It all started when a random fan of my Netflix appearance tracked me down to help her with a demonic entity hurting her staff at her bar in Dallas. I get many people reaching out to me about their paranormal experiences through social media, either through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I decided to help this particular business owner because the evil presence kept hurting her staff. This type of help is hazardous because demonic entities can hurt my family or me, so I had to ready myself. I consulted my aunt Nico, a witch, on how to cleanse a building of something evil. She taught me a ritual that would help me. Later, I informed the owner I would be helping her, but I didn't get to guarantee anything and volunteer to help her. The owner was an older woman of Hispanic heritage. Her bartender accompanied her. She was a young blonde in her late 20s. They both looked scared, not the simple afraid, but the type of fear that makes one's hands tremble each time they speak of it. That's what they called a demonic entity. She asked me why I didn't charge people, and I replied, I want to help because you asked me to, and I care. I brought my daughter with me because her friend from high school, families owned the bar, and she was into the paranormal. I strongly disagreed, but they came nevertheless. Straight away, my daughter felt something evil and old. I also felt the entity, and it was hiding in their back room. The owner had recently bought the building next to the restaurant in hopes of expanding her business. I asked the owner not to tell me anything about her structures nor her life. I looked at the back room and noticed a man with a top hat, a type people used in the 1800s. He had a gray face and black lips, white gloves, and a long trench coat. I turned to my daughter, and before I can say something, she said, I feel a man looking at us, and she points towards the closet. I asked the owner if there was another room beyond the back office, and she turned around, surprised. I asked, and she said, yes, there's a hidden door they discovered to the warehouse she had just purchased. My daughter looks at me and tells me, he's there in the darkness, and he's waiting for you. I have to be honest, it freaked me out because of what I saw. I asked the owner to open the door so that I can confront this entity. I asked my daughter to stay behind because the warehouse was pitch black. It was already around 10 at night, so it was hazardous. The owner and a bartender volunteered to join me in the warehouse, and I was thankful because I was scared. The man I saw looked just like the Babadook from the movie, except this thing had white gloves with long fingers. It looked at me and it smiled, almost daring me to follow him. So yes, I was frightened. My daughter grabbed my hand and said, don't go. You don't have to do this. I turned to reply, if I don't, it will hurt more people, and I can't let that happen. She lets my hand go, and I'm the first to step in the cold darkness inside the warehouse, followed by the owner and the bartender. The warehouse is three sections, and we walked into the first section. The area was dark, so I took out my phone and snapped some pictures and used a light from my phone to guide me through the first section. The first room felt heavy, like a funeral home. I turned and told the owner it was a funeral home. Amazed, she said yes. The section we were in was the embalming room in the early 1900s, and she showed me the blood-drained area where they sorted the bodies. So we walked into the second section where the mortician office and other rooms were. I saw a large man move to the warehouse last area from the corner of my eye. I turned to the owner and said, he's over there. The tall man with the top hat on the third section. And she replied, how did I know what the old owner with the top hat? I replied, because he's looking at us. Right when I said that, the bartender screamed something, scratched her arm, and they both quickly left. I was alone in the warehouse. I noticed strange symbols on the wall and candles on the floor, and I recognized what the signs meant. I did my ritual to banish the evil entity using sea salt and other materials. I finished, and I sealed the secret passage to the warehouse with sea salt. I warned the owner not to open this door anymore and that this wasn't over. What I felt was pure evil. And what I did only pissed it off, that I would need to do something more powerful to banish this demonic entity. We all go home and my daughter stays with us that night because she says she feels the man in our house. I also feel the dark energy there too. It followed us home. In the morning, I got up to work. When I smelled something foul in the air, I walked towards my dining room and I noticed rice on the floor, but this rice was moving. To my horror, my dining room floor had maggots. I knew what I had to do. I performed the same ritual my aunt taught me and I blessed my house. I was sure the evil entity was gone from my home. That afternoon, the owner called me and said the warehouse caught fire and it turned down around 10 in the morning. That's the same time I did my ritual at my house. I don't believe in coincidences. This evil spirit burned down the warehouse as revenge. The owner also said that the fire marshal couldn't pinpoint where the fire started because there wasn't any working electricity or any combustible fuel in the warehouse. The odd thing is that the fire burned the warehouse and not her restaurant. Before I left, I blessed her restaurant, so I wonder if that's the reason it didn't burn down with the warehouse. I thought it was over, but it wasn't. My house started to get swarms of those big horse flies and more maggots. It was back and stronger than ever. It attached to me. Even my little dog ran away from me. My wife performed an egg cleansing on me. It's a ritual using an egg to remove any negative energy from someone. Once you finish, you break the egg into a cup of water, and if you have something evil, you should see it in the egg. Once my wife broke the egg, it had a single maggot in the yolk. The maggot freaked my family out. My daughter was concerned about me. She made me a holy charm from a red spring, dipped in holy water, and a St. Michael pendant. She placed it around my neck and said, "Only someone that loves you can bless you." That night I fell asleep, but in the middle of the night I felt a gagging sensation as if I felt someone or something come up to my throat like vomit. I quickly got up and gagged, and that's when I noticed a man standing next to my bed with his hand in my mouth. I promptly spit it up and spit the hand out. The man looked at me with his mad black eyes and lips and a wicked smile and top hat, and screamed at me without saying a word. Just like that, it vanished into the darkness. My mouth tasted of ash and dead rot, so I got up and quickly brushed my teeth. I promptly thought, was that thing still inside me? Hell no. I slept with the lights on that night, and that morning, I asked my daughter to make more holy necklaces for the restaurant staff. That day, we passed him the blessed charms to the staff of the restaurant. That night, I performed the final ritual at the bar, and it finally worked. So far, no more haunting at the restaurant or my warehouse. Now you know why I'm not particularly eager to help people with their paranormal problems, but I'm a nice guy, so I still do. I'm finishing my third book, and we started filming a movie based on my life, so ask your listeners to visit my website, deadfollow.com, to stay up to date on the movie news and follow me on social media. Happy Halloween. Stay safe. Oscar Mendoza in Dallas. Oscar, of course, has been with our show since day one. Some of his stories first debuted on our show, the story that really kind of propelled him to a lot of attention, the zombie ghost clown story from way back, got the attention of Netflix and the series Haunted. And you can see that account. In fact, it all acted out. In fact, if you've watched Haunted, quite often the icon that appears on my television is the one from our show, the zombie ghost clown, which is just kind of freaky to see when you're just trying to watch like reruns of Frasier. But that's what you get. So anyway, thank you, Oscar, so much. If that story sounds familiar, we did read it on our live video cast on Halloween on Facebook Live, but that's the only other place that story has been shared so far. And we wanted to share it here on the regular program as well. All right, back to the stories in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporters today, BetterHelp. These guys have one heck of a thing going on, and it is all good. It's all there for the mental health and goodness of the world, quite honestly. And that is something that we need some focus on. Obviously, we are going through a crisis right now with physical health, with COVID and such, but the mental health toll that takes on top of everything else that goes on in normal life, sometimes it can just be too damn much. It can. And there's nothing wrong with raising your hand and saying, "Too much, I need some help. Can somebody help me?" Unfortunately, though, in reality, there's not always, or it seems that there's not always someone there to help when it comes to professional counseling or therapy in everybody's area. Sometimes it's like a therapy desert or a mental health desert. BetterHelp fills those deserts with people who can help. It eliminates that problem. If there is something interfering with your happiness and preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp is here for you. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist you can start communicating with in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. Broad range of expertise available, which may not be available in many areas. And it's available to you worldwide. You can log onto your account anytime, send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so there's no waiting in those uncomfortable waiting rooms, feeling unsafe, leaving your home, all that. It's all done from the comfort of your home, from your device. That's one of the big reasons why I love this. I think it's a game changer in terms of mental health, and I am such a proponent of this service. BetterHelp, they are committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available to you. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. We all need it. We all need it. It is not an easy time on top of, like I said, what's going on globally, what's going on in our country, and then you add personal things into it. It gets to be a lot. There's no shame in saying, you know what? I need some guidance. I need some help here. Whether it's a lot or a little, BetterHelp can do it for you. Visit BetterHelp.com/ghost stories. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp. They are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Go to BetterHelp.com. Special offer right now for you guys. BetterHelp.com/ghost stories. And you guys, listeners of our show, Real Ghost Stories Online, get 10% off your first month. So BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/ghost stories to get 10% off your first month. Do it. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. Do it to help you get through these times. BetterHelp.com/ghost stories. What's your thoughts?
Well, having a man with long fingers having his hand in your mouth,
yeah,
as you're sleeping and you're gagging, and then you wake up and there's maggots in your dining room?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah, that would just be utterly terrifying and just horrific to have to deal with and feel that. I mean, I can't imagine what that would be like.
If I felt it, I would bite down on it.
My question would be, what is it like if you are, no, not that, but what would you, I don't think I'd bite down on it. I'd be afraid it would like break off in my mouth or something. What I would be concerned with is if I was just your average employee at that restaurant, doesn't really have anything involved. You're just there to make the check and the tips, and you're not like invested in the restaurant. It's a job. It's just there for you, you know? And they show up the next day and they're asking everyone to wear holy charms and necklaces to keep the demons away. I don't know that I would stay at that job. I think I might be like, what? And I'm not saying that I would be thinking they're crazy or anything like that. I would just be like, this is some stuff I don't want to take home. This is not worth the tips I'm getting for pancakes. You know, it's just, you have to imagine there's probably a few people that maybe were like that. I don't know. I don't know if it was a family business or what, but that would be an interesting thing to have your boss come and say, hey, can you please wear this this necklace because it's going to keep the demons away from us.
Well, what I would do, that came, what I would do is I would take the entire jar of tips, get the hell out of here, go home, spend the tips on edible dolls.
That's not how that works. It's not, you can't steal other people's tips and then buy LOL dolls. Someday you're going to listen back on this and you're going to be like, I was really, Dad, what did you do to try and get me to stop being into those LOL dolls? And my answer will be everything, honey. I tried everything. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to a caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name is Samuel. I've been listening to your show for quite some time now. I'm a night shift worker, so I like to listen to it while I work with just my AirPods on. I did want to share a short story with you guys as well. So when I was a kid, I was about 8 years old, my parents purchased this large farmhouse way out in the middle of nowhere, and they actually happened to have known the owners prior, and the owners had lived there for like 40 years, And they actually ended up passing away, and my parents acquired the house. And the house was built in the 1880s, and it was this huge old farmhouse, and it was on 12 acres of land. There was a pond, absolutely gorgeous, in the middle of the country. And we were all watching the Super Bowl, my entire family. And keep in mind, we are a large Catholic family. So my parents don't believe in ghosts, and I didn't until this experience. We believe in familiar spirits such as demons. But we're all sitting there watching the Super Bowl, and we were eating chili in the living room. And an apparition, a full-body apparition, it looked like a shadow man, walked in the living room, leaned against the doorway, looked at us, turned around, and left. And everybody in that room saw it. Even my parents say they saw it, which is a big deal because my parents are the type of people that are like, don't give anything power, don't acknowledge it, so on and so forth. So then a couple months goes by and it's Thanksgiving and we've got a whole bunch of family in town. My mom's a great cook, so typically everybody ends up at my mom's house for Thanksgiving. Some of my older siblings would come back into town and we're all sitting praying at the dining room table before we're about to eat. And we hear a baby cry upstairs coming from the second floor of this house. However, nobody had a baby at that time. There wasn't a baby in this house. So probably about 3 years later, my dad is looking at adding an addition onto the house and doing some things to it. And he goes to the city and requests the original plans. And it takes him a couple months to get it. But they do end up giving him some records from the 1800s and early 1900s. And in the 1800s, the original plan of the house was much larger. There was an entire different wing on it. However, in the 1900s, it became a hospital, and then it became a children's home. In the time that it was a children's home, it had a fire, and it essentially lost an entire wing of the house, and 13 children died in the house. Shortly after that, my parents sold the house and moved into a different, even more creepier one.
And his phone cut out, but don't worry, he called back. So we have more of his story. Continue on.
Hi, Tony. This is Samuel from Ohio again. I was just following up. I did get cut off the last voicemail. So essentially what I had left off was my parents had ended up leaving that house and they had owned another house they had purchased. They were planning on fixing it up and reselling it. But after a couple paranormal experiences in the previous one, they decided just to move into the house themselves. So they move into this beautiful house and it's a Queen Anne Victorian home. And it had hardwood floors and giant, great building cabinets and woodwork that was all original. It was a gorgeous house. I had a friend, and his name was Curtis, and I was going to go to Curtis's birthday party, but my dad had to work kind of late, so he couldn't pick me up. So he said, you know, if Curtis's parents can bring you home, then yeah, you can go. So, you know, they talked to Curtis's parents, and they're like, yeah, no problem, we'll drop him off. So, you know, my birthday party's over and I'm getting ready to get in the car with Kurt and his parents, and his parents asked me where I live and I told them the address and they're like, whoa, you live there? And I was like, yeah, I do. And Kurt's dad said, you know, I lived there as a kid. That place is haunted. And I was like, okay, because like I had said, I didn't believe in ghosts at this point. So he's telling us about how there is a secret passage on the third floor, and that in the secret passage, you had to go into a closet. And there was a built-in bookcase in this closet, and if you pulled out one of the pieces of wood, then you could push back, and it was like a full little doorway. He was absolutely right. So if you pull out the middle bookcase thing, you can literally push the wood behind it, like the backing back, and you can pull out all the shelves, and then it's a doorway. You can go into like a hallway. And there was a couple like unfinished rooms in there. Well, my sister ends up moving back in with us after college, and she had lost her car keys and some things had ended up going missing. And we were talking about, you know, where they could be or all this stuff. And I had said, well, you know, Kurt's parents said that this place is haunted and Kurt's dad lived here. So maybe they're in the walls, in the secret passages. And everybody just kind of looked at me and they're like, what did you just say? So I had said, maybe they're in the secret passage. And they're like, what secret passage? I was like, the one in my room, it's in the closet. So my parents were like, what are you talking about? So everybody goes upstairs with me and I show them. And sure enough, my sister's car keys and a whole pile of objects that had gone missing had ended up in there. And my parents are the type that they said, you know, you have a demon attached to you, Samuel. You need to go to church. So then they end up contacting a priest. I had to speak with a priest. I got prayed over the whole nine because my parents believe that there are demons attached to me. That's when the paranormal activity in that house got really, really, really bad. So then it was like slamming doors and a whole bunch of stuff. And I think the breaking point for me was when I turned about 17 years old and I had a friend come stay the night. And he left at probably about 2 a.m, had his mom come pick him up because something kept stomping up and down the stairs to the third floor all night. And he physically saw a shadow person. I had seen it as well. And he looked at me and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't stay here. I'll never stay here again. There's something really bad going on here." So my friend goes and he leaves and he posts about it on Facebook. And that's when I was like, okay, you know, I don't want to live here anymore. And I talked to my parents about it. My parents were like, you have demons on you. You're attracting demons. Like, you're bringing them into the home, blah, 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 blah. So I was like, whatever. And I ended up moving out the next year. My parents still have very bad paranormal activity at that house, but they refuse to leave because my mom states that God gave her that house. And she has just like lost herself restoring it. But there's a lot of crazy stuff that's unexplainable that happened in that house. So a couple of years ago, my sister and I were looking up the history on that house and come to find out it was the first hospital in that town. And then it became a furniture store and then shortly after a funeral home. And after presenting that like to my parents, they were like, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Just last week, my mom called me because my younger brother ended up moving into my old bedroom, which nobody had lived in at the time. It was on the third floor all by itself. And she said, you know, Asa is experiencing things. What exactly did you experience? Because they had never really taken much of what I had said into fruition. And I told her, and she said, okay, whatever, love you, hung up. And I was talking to my grandma about it, and my dad's a really Catholic one. And I was talking to my grandma about it, and she was like, well, you know that we're sensitive to that type of stuff. And I said, what are you talking about, grandma? And she goes, yeah, she was like, my mom used to swear that she would get like premonitions and she would see things, and I've seen things too. And a little backstory, when I was 5, my little brother actually had passed away in another house we lived in, which is why I moved out of that house and into the farmhouse. And my mother, my sister, and my grandmother all predicted how he was going to die. When he was, like, not when he was going to die, but like a general month of when he was going to die and where he was going to die. And they all had seen it in a dream prior to it happening. It was nothing that anybody could have prevented. But that's how he ended up dying. So, you know, she was like, you know that these people dreamt about that before that happened. And they also dreamt about this and that. And I was like, no, I didn't know that. So I talked to my mom about it. And she was like, yeah, that's true. You know, Sarah and I did have that dream. And so did your grandmother. And, you know, there are some people in our family who are sensitive to certain things. But my mom had said that it was because we were so good with God that we were being attacked by demons because we were destined to do good in the world, like with God's work. And that he was trying to, Satan was trying to prevent us from doing that good. And I got contacted by a lady who claimed that she was a medium and that she had to warn us, essentially, because there was an entity that was attached to the home that was evil, and it essentially wanted to do us harm and wanted us out of that house. And I gave my parents the warning, and it's just like, you know, they didn't really believe me or anything. And I came to visit them one time, and I had moved out. I was on my, I lived an hour north, and I drove down, and I got to the stop sign about a block from their house, and I could smell smoke, which wasn't uncommon because I thought, you know, it was a fireplace burning out of a chimney, you know, it's like a chimney, something like that, because it was kind of colder. And I got around the corner and realized it was their house. It was on fire. And a fire had started in the basement. They still don't know how. And they ended up leaving that house not too long after that. Sat vacant for a while, and then they moved back in because my mom claims that, you know, God had given her that home. So they still live there to that day. It is considered be one of the more haunted houses in town, actually. And they didn't find that out until the first Halloween that they lived there, when they were doing like the spirit walk, and they stopped at that house as one of their stops. And even then, my parents still didn't believe me, or my siblings, or their own eyes. They chalked it up to its demons. It's, you know, a negative entity that wasn't ungodly, so on and so forth. What's kind of creepy about it all is about 5 months ago, about 500 yards from where my parents' house is like the town center, and there's this big gazebo there. They tore down the gazebo that had been there since like 1910 and started doing construction for a hotel, and they had found a Native American burial ground that was there. And essentially, they were all buried there. They originally thought that it was like a Native American burial ground that the natives had done, but that was actually where the people who founded the town, which was Thomas Worthington, he and a whole bunch of other people rounded up the entire indigenous population, brought them to the town square, and slaughtered them all, and then buried them right there, just 500 yards from my parents' house. So, you know, they really don't see or deal with that type of stuff anymore. Not that I know of. They don't really talk to me about it, but that's a true experience that I did have in that house. And that house to this day gives me heebie-jeebies. I don't like to go there. I've actually moved 1,000 miles south because I just have no interest in even being in that city or state anymore.
Nor do I blame you for not wanting to be around an environment like that.
Yeah. Especially when there's this demon in your house that's literally going to steal your sister's car keys and hide it in a secret passage.
The thought of what happened on that plot of land or right in front of that plot of land, you know, and when we talk about historical terms, everything is fairly relative, meaning that whole general area likely had stuff going on, and it wasn't necessarily, oh, it's in front of the house, now right where the house is. That, you know, that shit went down right there on that house.
Yeah.
So it's disturbing, and I don't blame you, especially if you're remotely sensitive to have something like that happen. And it's different than a battle. It's you know, there's we walk around the battlefield here in town, and it's sad, and but we feel a lot of peace there. You know, it's, you know, I don't really get, I mean, obviously a lot of horrible things happen there, but a battle to me is very, very different than an overzealous population that took over someone's land that then decides to go and kill everybody who originally had the land, all the indigenous people. That, to me, that's evil. That is not a battle. That's not a fair fight. That's not a war. That's slaughter. That is, you know, just utterly disgusting and horrible. And that in itself would, I think, create far more negative energy than like I said, like a battle or a murder or something like that with that much sadness. So I don't blame you for getting the hell out of there. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.